Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, you and I are going to tackle a really key piece of Massachusetts criminal law, ineffective assistance of counsel.
That's right.
We're focusing on a specific case, Commonwealth v. Safarian from 1974. Think of this as getting to the heart of when a lawyer's work in court might actually be grounds to overturn a conviction.
Yeah, it's crucial stuff. This case really set the benchmark in Massachusetts, the test they use, and its influence kind of spread.
And if you're a law student, maybe prepping for the bar, this is need-to-know material for Sixth Amendment rights in practice.
Absolutely. We're going straight into the Safarian case itself. We'll look at the, you know, the facts, how the court reasoned through it, the main legal principles.
We have the case details, some notes guiding us.
Right. And our mission really is to understand that Safarian test and what it actually means for defendants, for the whole system here in Massachusetts.
Okay, let's set the scene. It's 1974. We're talking about the Massachusetts Supreme Judicial Court, the SJC.
Top court in the state.
The underlying crime, an armed robbery, happened at a place called Gibson Liquor Mart, involved a stolen car, a revolver. Pretty standard stuff for that kind of charge.
But here's the kicker.
Yeah, the evidence against Safarian himself was described by the court as, and this is their word, overwhelming.
That's a strong word from a court.
It is. You had eyewitnesses identifying him. They found, what, $60 in small bills on him?
Yeah, which, after robbery, doesn't look good. And his co-defendant had about $250.
So the prosecution had a lot to work with. Now, Safarian had a court-appointed lawyer.
Right. And interestingly, this lawyer wasn't an experience. We're talking 40 years in practice.
40 years. Wow.
Yeah. Quite seasoned. But the record suggested maybe not a ton of pretrial prep happened.
So experienced, but maybe didn't dig in beforehand?
Possibly, but he was active during the actual trial, so a bit of a mixed picture there.
Okay, so given that background, overwhelming evidence, experienced, but maybe underprepared lawyer, what was the big legal question the SJC had to answer?
It really boiled down to this. Did this lawyer's performance sink measurably below the standard of an ordinary lawyer? That's the first part.
Okay, measurable deficiency.
And then the second part. If it was deficient, did that actually cost Safarian a substantial defense? Did it hurt his case in a meaningful way?
Got it. Deficiency and prejudice. That's the core.
Exactly. And that became the Safarian two-prong test we use in Massachusetts.
So let's break that down. Prong one, deficient performance. How low is measurably below?
Well, the court looked at whether the lawyer acted like an ordinary fallible lawyer. They even noted that just relying on, like, improvised cross-examination isn't ideal.
They actually said not to be recommended.
Right. But even saying that, they didn't automatically say it was deficient in Safarian's case. So not perfect doesn't always equal legally deficient.
Interesting. So even if the strategy wasn't great, it might still pass that first prong. But what about the second prong, the prejudice?
Okay. So even if you prove the lawyer's performance was subpar, you also have to show you lost something important because of it, a substantial ground of defense.
And that this loss likely affected the trial's outcome.
Precisely. It's not just my lawyer was bad. It's my lawyer was bad. And because of that, I lost this specific defense, which probably changed the result.
And this is where Safarian's claim hit a wall, right? The court wasn't convinced.
Exactly. They pointed out a few things. One, Safarian was apparently talking to his lawyer constantly during the trial. The court said he was continually at counsel's ear.
Suggesting he had chances for input, maybe?
That seems to be the implication. It wasn't like the lawyer was ignoring him during the proceedings.
And they also mentioned the lawyer did file a motion, right, to suppress the gun evidence.
Yeah, he did. Now, the motion failed, but the court saw it as, you know, evidence of the lawyer actually doing something, engaging with the case.
Trying to fight the evidence, even if unsuccessfully.
Right. But the absolute crucial point, the real reason the claim failed, was that Safarian couldn't identify a specific defense that got lost.
Like, he couldn't say, my lawyer failed to investigate my alibi, or he didn't call this key witness.
Exactly that. No concrete examples. And the burden is on the defendant to show what was lost. You can't just make vague complaints.
Which ties into that pragmatic quote from the court. Something about not unraveling verdicts for every little flaw.
Yeah. Verdicts can't be unraveled for every imperfection. It shows the court's concern for finality. Trials aren't perfect, lawyers aren't perfect, but the system needs a certain level of stability.
So the court wasn't looking for the best possible defense, but a constitutionally adequate one. Is that fair?
I think that's a great way to put it. They focused on whether the lawyer's failings actually harmed Seferian's chance at a fair trial, not whether the lawyer met some ideal standard.
Which brings us back to the overwhelming evidence. Did that make it almost impossible to show prejudice?
It certainly made it much, much harder. If the evidence is incredibly strong, it's difficult to argue that even a better lawyer would likely have achieved a different outcome. It's sort of an overwhelming evidence doctrine in practice.
So even if the lawyer made mistakes, if the evidence is rock solid, the conviction might stand because those mistakes arguably didn't affect the verdict.
That's often the reasoning, yeah. The defendant still needs to show that lost defense, and with overwhelming evidence, finding a substantial lost offense that likely mattered is tough.
And the burden is squarely on the defendant to point that out.
Absolutely. The court isn't going to guess what might have been. The defendant has to show it. That quote about judges becoming Penelope's forever unraveling webs they wove really highlights the court's reluctance to endlessly second-guess trials.
Okay, so let's clear up some common myths then. Myth one, any unprepared lawyer automatically means ineffective assistance.
Wrong. As Seferian shows, you need both deficient performance below that ordinary fallible lawyer standard, and you need prejudice, the loss of a substantial defense that likely affected the outcome. Both prongs.
And myth two. These claims are easy wins on appeal.
Definitely not. Courts tend to give trial lawyers a lot of leeway on strategy, you know, strategic deference. And like we said, that overwhelming evidence hurdle is significant. It's tough to win these claims.
One last point here. How does this Massachusetts test from Seferian compare to the federal standard?
Good question. The federal standard came later in Strickland v. Washington. Generally, the Massachusetts Seferian test is considered slightly more favorable to the defendant, just a bit easier to meet, potentially.
Okay, so for everyone listening, especially you law students, the big takeaway from Commonwealth v. Seferian.
The Constitution guarantees a fair trial, not necessarily a perfect one.
Right. And to win an ineffective assistance claim in Massachusetts, you've got to hit both parts of that test. The lawyer's performance fell measurably below the ordinary standard.
And that failure caused you to lose a substantial defense, making a different outcome likely. Deficiency and prejudice.
Remember that two-pronged test for the bar? And remember, Mass is seen as slightly more defendant-friendly than the federal Strickland standard.
And always ask, did the error realistically wipe out a substantial defense? In Seferian, with that evidence, the court said no.
So here's something to chew on. When the evidence seems totally stacked against a defendant, what can a good defense lawyer actually do? What specific actions could still count as effective assistance and maybe, just maybe, uncover that substantial defense?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it? Thinking creatively, investigating thoroughly, even in tough cases.
It pushes us to think about what effective advocacy really means, even against long odds. Something to consider. Join us next time on The Deep Dive as we explore.